At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Art. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now the host of the show, Rich Orris.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show, like you said, right here on KMOX. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and for the next 2 hours, we're dedicating this time to you, to your home, what you need, whether it's maintenance, upgrades, or that big remodeling idea you've been thinking about for quite a while, maybe procrastinating a bit. We can talk a little bit about that today and why that happens to a lot of us, but you can also give me a call, 314-436-7900, and let's talk about your to-do list, your weekend projects, your ideas that you've been putting off. This weekend is a great one here in St. Louis, and you're all in it. The weather is warm, and there is plenty going on, so why not get outside, either get on your list, or maybe get inspired. Maybe walk around in Soulard. Maybe stroll around the neighborhood and see what folks are doing with their homes. Bring in a little inspiration back to your space and figure out what you can do for your home, no matter what it is. If it's a leaky faucet, drafty window, redoing a basement, or planning a complete kitchen overhaul, we're here to help you figure it out. So grab your cup of coffee, take a look around the house, and let's get moving. It's the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX, and we are ready for your calls. The phone lines are wide open. Again, the number to join me today is 314-436-7900. We'll see who comes and jumps in first and gets in on the fun and the conversation. And like I was mentioning, it is warm outside. It is really nice. There are a lot of outdoor projects that you can get done today, this weekend, before the cold starts coming back in again. So for me, I've been kind of talking sporadically here and there about the doors that I'm trying to get installed at my house. I talk quite a bit about trying to get them delivered with Home Depot and getting the doors through Home Depot and some of the different issues that I had and finally have the last door at my house. So I'm planning on getting on that last door. I got a friend coming over tomorrow to help me get that bigger door in. But I also hit the same weekend where it's nice and it's warm and I have some painting to do. I talked in a couple past episodes about choosing that product and not going with a pre-finished door because I can paint it, and it's just kind of the value of what we're doing and what our plans are for our house right now. So I didn't go all in with this really great pre-finished, factory pre-finished door with all the bells and whistles. And it's about choosing the value for you, but also I'm good at painting and I can paint. And so now I'm in the same weekend where I'm like, okay, this is my last chance to get these doors painted probably as well. So I'm trying to do that yesterday, this morning, a little bit more this afternoon. I'll be trying to get the doors that I have already put in painted on the exterior so that they're good. They're ready to go through winter. The one I install tomorrow may or may not end up with a warm enough time to get that bigger door painted on the outside, because I'll be waiting for another time frame to hit that. And with Thanksgiving and the holidays and everything that's coming up towards us, I may not get that opportunity. It may be spring, but you get a good fiberglass door panel. You don't necessarily have to paint it the moment it goes in, but you want to get to it as soon as possible. So by spring, absolutely for sure, I will be jumping in on that and trying to finish that up. So we've got a lot going on, a lot happening here, and a lot to get to in thinking about the procrastination, thinking about when you have projects and taking the time to get to them. And sometimes there's so many different things that happen and life just kind of gets in the way. And for me, I've spoke a lot about how, you know, it's that whole scenario we always hear about. Everybody talks about the shoemaker's kids are running around without any shoes. And I did speak about how it's been 5-6 years. I've been thinking about, considering, kind of knowing what's next on my list with these doors. And here it is finally 5 or 6 years later that I'm finally getting around and getting to that project and trying to get them in. And of course the bad part was now it's like, yeah, it's pretty close to emergent, even especially on the big door I'm doing tomorrow, because it's really wore. It was wood. It's been there for 24 years, something like that. And it's just really, you can paint it, but so much weather gets to it. So I kind of had that emergent state come up where it's like, yeah, I really have to get this now. Another coat of paint just isn't going to get me by another year. And you get tired of doing that coat of paint every year or two because it's so bad. You're constantly trying to fix it up and make it better to last another year for you. So there are a lot of reasons that come up and reasons that everyone looking at remodeling kind of falls into that delay, that procrastination, the different concerns. And so we can run through a whole bunch of that list and what you could do to help to kind of work through it and everything. But again, for you, for everybody out there, I'm right here. Phone lines are wide open. So feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. We'll get you straight in straight away. We can talk about some of those procrastination remodeling projects and the reasons people do that. When we return, we're going to jump into a quick break, so don't touch that dial. More home improvement to come after this. Buddy, we are back. Home Improvement Show here for you. Got plenty of time for everybody. Phone lines wide open. What are the projects you have been thinking about? What's on your list for this weekend? What have you been procrastinating about at your home? I'm telling you, we all do it. Everyone's going to do it. I do it myself. It just takes just jumping up and getting to it. And one of the ways you could get started there is to give me a call and let's talk over what is happening for you. 314-436-7900. What's happening at your home and what might you need help with? And so I kind of started thinking about this topic of getting yourself into projects, getting started and maybe promoting how to get started, because I know there is a lot of life getting in the way. And when we even talk together as a company, as a group, in trying to perform our jobs, we speak often about how our biggest competitor in getting work done for a client is the client. It's what is happening in their life. It's what's going on right then. It's purchasing a car. It's putting kids through college. I was just talking with a great colleague about weddings and my daughter's wedding coming up, and he's got a daughter that's just got engaged, and we were literally talking. He was kind of telling his daughter, like, can you wait till the other two are out of college? Like, how, you know, so it's, what are you up against in your life that puts you in a position that you end up waiting and thinking about, is there ways to help that, around that, get things sooner, how to stop that procrastination? And it came up because I was on a phone call with a client that I'm going to see on Monday, and he had kind of mentioned to me, he's like, well, you know, I've got a lot of projects and and a lot going on, and I've been putting a lot of this off. So he literally says, you know, I hope you don't judge. And I'm like, believe me, I'm not going to judge whatsoever on any kind of procrastination or what's happening going on in your life, because I've done the same thing too. In what I do around my house every day, in waiting and trying to find the right time. For me, of course, I do a lot of my own stuff, and so for me the biggest part is really just my time, the timing of when's it good. With a wedding coming up, well, that month and the month or so before and all the things, that's going to be a horrible time for me to try and do anything at my house or any type of work, because there's just going to be so much leading up to that. So that's the big spot for me in trying to get to things. And of course, money is always on that list. So we can get back and go through some of this list and see what portion of that list you're in, and maybe how we can help you kind of jump through that and get yourself moving. But for now, we got Bob on the line, so let's see what's going on with Bob. Hey Bob, are you there? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning, Rich. Yeah, you must have been reading my mind, because I'm working on a fiberglass door unit project myself today.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, as an old man, I'll just tell you, it's not fun for me anymore.
Yeah it's,
you know,
gets harder every day.
Yeah, I would just ask you, what type of paint and primer, you probably got a pre-primed door, I'm assuming, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you were just starting, mine's just, it's got some primer on the, the framing of it, but the rest of it's fiberglass, you know, it's probably a pine or something, you know, the other wood, but... what kind of primer would you typically use on that? And then your finish paints, if you could talk a little bit about that, that'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So as far as finish paints, just a really good semi-gloss exterior. You want to have a good gloss to it. Now, I'm not a fan of, like, actual gloss. If you get into, like, a really high gloss, that shows the more gloss, the more imperfections you're going to see.
Okay.
So I like a semi-gloss for the outside, for the door. It gets enough gloss on there, but it's not like that oil-based look, you know, really super shiny. It doesn't show absolutely all the imperfections that can end up being on the door, any little chip or thing that sticks or anything. So just a really good exterior paint. I do like to get primer in the paint. So there are exterior paints that have some primer in it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of painters might say you could use that and not necessarily have to prime that. Because it has the primer and the paint that helps bond and go through that. So you can do that and skip that primer if you want. Going and just buying a really good exterior primer first is still not a bad idea to put on that fiberglass door. It will also help you cover... trying to clean that door prior, you get all those little like black fingerprints on that fiberglass so easy installing that door, and it's pretty difficult to clean off. So mm-hmm. You'll notice it only cleans off about halfway. It doesn't really mm-hmm. go away. So getting a good exterior based primer on first, then it helps cover that too, to get the first coat over all those prints and color differences, and then two coats of just a really good exterior semi-gloss paint, maybe paint with a primer in it. Also, it makes a good strong paint. So just a regular water-based paint is fine. You don't need to get oil, anything like that. Just a really good alkali exterior paint is going to work really well for you on a fiberglass door and the frame and trim and everything around it if you need it on there.
Yeah, I've noticed like with a lot of these doors, you know, there's no such thing as the perfect door, you know, as far as, you know, where the, you know, when they put the, you know, this has the internal blinds.
Yep.
So then the covers over, the, you know, the trim work over it, you know, I mean, you'll see some glue popping out here and there. So I'd, you know, it took a little extra time to scrape some of that away so it doesn't look like you got a big blob, you know, in certain places. So that worked out pretty well. But I'll tell you, when you get old, it's hard to, you know, it's just harder to do.
Absolutely. I tell you, a funny one I had was when we had moved into our house, it was a foreclosure. There was a lot of things wrong. We did a lot of work to it. And my living room ceiling's about 18 feet high. And the ceiling fan, for some reason, like the way they wired or something, every ceiling fan in my house did not work. And they were all wired really funny in a way that I really, it didn't seem like that should have done it, but something did it to where I changed every ceiling fan in the house, but this one's 18 feet in the air. So So we were in the house about 5 years before I changed that fan out. And I'm up on this ladder and I'm trying to install this fan and everything. And I'm getting done. And my wife said, she asked me if I had any regrets of not just hiring somebody to come in and install the ceiling fan. And I said, really, my only regret is just not doing it 5 years ago. I was 5 years younger.
Yes.
I was a little more aggressive. I'm like, it should have been the first thing I did.
Yeah.
Go to the hardest thing first. Work your way back. So,
it's a 12-foot folding ladder, and I'm telling you, that thing is, you know, a good fiber, a good, you know, quality.
Yeah.
And that thing feels like it weighs a ton. I said, I'm going to get this from the garage to my ceiling. I said, well, okay, it's going to take a while, but I'll get there, you know.
I
may have to take a break, but anyway. Well, I just want to tell you, your show is awesome, and you know, we must be some kind of a door brothers, paint brothers.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'm doing the same thing today. It's just, it's awesome. You're awesome.
Yep. Oh, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate the call, the question. That is pretty ironic that we're doing the same thing. And I will tell you, too, when we look at and something, if I get a little time, maybe I can cover a little bit today, too, is in St. Louis, when you break down and you look at every type of door made from a real wood to steel to fiberglass, to the wood clad, the fiberglass is kind of balances out to the absolute best option when you kind of co-mingle investment with longevity and how it lasts and how it works in our St. Louis climate. Fiberglass is absolutely the best entry door for St. Louis.
Then I made a good choice.
Yeah, it's the best way to go. So
it's just that these things are so big, you know, 7x9, you know, that's and then with all the intricacies of the molding, the you know, the door opens in the center, side lights, all the things you want to cover up, because I could really get sloppy quick. You know.
Yep. But, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yep. All right, Bob, appreciate it. Thanks
for
the call.
Appreciate you taking my call, Rich.
Yep, okay, no problem.
Have a good one.
You too. And so, so everybody out there, what are you working on? Are you trying to get something painted today? What's happening for you? This is a really good weekend window with the temperatures, the overnight lows being really high up there. You can get some painting done. You can get some exterior work done. We can talk about the reasons to jump in here in a bit. So we're going to get into a quick break here, but hey, we'll have more calls, more questions, more answers, topics, and everything home improvement right after this. All right, here we are. We are back live and lively for you. Home Improvement Show, your host, Rich Orris, right here. Got plenty of time for your calls, your questions. What do you have going on today? 314-436-7900 is the number to find me. right now. Let me know what you're up against. And chatting with Bob about the right type of door, fiberglass being one of about the best option for St. Louis. The paint, just normal paint. I mean, the more you buy up the food chain, it is definitely good. It can be a little bit better, cover a little bit better, but any type of an exterior primer sealer is going to work really well. You do not have to look for an oil base, like a true stain sealer oil base type, just a regular water based primer sealer meant for exterior works really well. And then painting a normal water-based paint, just an acrylic latex type paint, is going to work really well. Get it in a semi-gloss to just have enough sheen on there, but not necessarily a super high gloss. Works really well, but again, you don't have to get into the oil base, the alkalides, the enamels. They can last a little better, fade a little, you know, fade life a little bit longer. It just depends on how much lasting value do you want out of that? How are you trying to get out of it? It's decisions we make with doors every day with a lot of our clients at Mosby. We put in a lot of doors, patio doors, front entry doors, every type of entry door into the house. But for the most part, 99% of what we're looking at offering and people are choosing is an actual pre-finished door. So that actual door panel is pre-finished from the manufacturer. You pick from the colors, and in that, you want to talk about some lasting value. You want to talk about a perfect looking paint job. Your investment grows with that, but I mean, just a absolute upscale door, great paint job. It's worth doing. And then again, in what I'm going to do myself with my doors, but what we do with these Provia type doors is there's a metal cladding that goes around that frame, around the brick mold. It kind of covers that whole exterior up. And then when we install this door, we can do our sill tapes and our flashing tapes to the wall. We can go through everything. And if there's vinyl siding, we pull off some of that vinyl siding around that door so that we can get the right metal head flashing over the top of that door to get water from behind the siding back out in front of that door. But then you've got that metal capping all the way around that door. So like with my doors, I'm gonna do that metal capping myself with some white metal. You use the siding brake, you can bend it. It looks really nice. You can wrap it around the brick mold. And so basically the whole door frame all the way around will be white metal. But the trick is, you can do this without taking that siding off. But if you think about it, you just tuck that metal back into that J channel. That's what most door, window, all these installers are going to do. On mine and on what we do at Mosby with most of our projects is you take that siding off. So I'm going to wrap that metal around, but I'm going to actually bend that metal onto the wall. And then I can have that flash taped around and have it do the same thing at the top. So flash taped, Tyvek overlaps it at the top. I'm controlling that water, taking it where I want it to go, down off the bottom, dripping off the top of the door in front of it, and I'm taking all of that water away from that wall and from getting inside there. And so far on two of my doors, the two I did change, there was rotted plywood at each corner from all of that water getting in on both of those doors. Now on the bigger door, there's going to be probably even more rot there, I'm anticipating already, because on the other doors, I had a little bit of mold and a little bit going on right behind the bottom of the casing, maybe 3 inches up off the floor, about 3-4 inches wide. I've got, you can see the moisture, the drywall paper sticking to the back of the trim, a little bit of mold on that surface, cleaning that off. Well, when I took this bigger door, I got the trim off, I got everything ready to go, I went ahead and pulled the base trim off down both walls also, because that has taken on more water than even the smaller doors. And I've got maybe 18 inches of mold was actually running behind the baseboard also down the wall. So when you see that and you go, okay, well, now I can look at it and say, I'm going to probably have more rot in that corner and both corners of that door than I had on the others. So I know I've got to repair. I got to get that door out and I got to repair this subfloor prior to even flash taping and getting that door in. So there's a job on top of a job in getting that well right and done the right way. And again, that's kind of on this list of you know, reasons to procrastinate is I know there's more to do, and I know I'm going to have to do this with it. I'm going to have to fix the floor, and I'm got all this, and I'm still going to have the metal work to do at some point. I got to try and work that in. That can be done when it's colder, and that's okay. And when it's colder, there's a little less rain. So it definitely gives a better time of less chance of rain when trying to do that type of exterior work that doesn't need to be painted, and we don't have to worry about the overnight lows for paint. We can do that metal when it's colder. And on the inside, I was when you see the mold and that, I was kind of joking with my wife because she's on the phone with her mom, and she's like, oh my gosh, there's mold. I can see the mold from behind the trim from this door leak, and like, oh my gosh, she's like, how bad is this, you know? And I'm like, well, it's probably bad enough that only women should move out. Maybe you should go stay at your mom's for a week or two while we let this mold go away. But just joking, of course, that a little bit of something like that, you can clean it up with some bleach water. If there's a little bit of something like that, mold, remember, it's everywhere. It's in the air. So a little bit of mold on something that you clean off, and if there's a little bit on the back of that drywall inside that wall, I don't feel there's enough there that I'm going to tear this wall apart, and I'm going to get this drywall off, and I'm going to try and get rid of every bit of this mold, because it's, I know, and you'll have the same type 99% of the time. This is a type of mold that is growing because there is all the right situation for it to do that. It's in the dark. It has a food source, and it has a moisture source. So when I get this new door in and I flash tape and I do this metal and I get it on the wall and I flash tape again around that, so my door is going to have two layers of flash tape going around it with the house wrap overlapping on top of that, I know I'm getting rid of that moisture source. So if I've got a little spot 12 inches wide of a tiny bit of mold on the back paper of the backside of this drywall, it's not going to grow. It's not going to keep growing and adding. And it's not putting any more mold into the air than probably just a really moldy spring day. So it's really, when they even test the mold in your house, they're testing that against what is the mold count outside to see if you can have mold spores in your house coming in when you open the front door. That is perfectly fine. It's like what's happening every day, and mold's only bad when you have way too much of it. And when you've got, the count gets really high, and then you can start having the health issues and all everything that goes along with it. But we've been in this house 10 years. This door's been leaking for 24 years, a little bit during wind-driven rains here and there, causing all of this. I'm going to eliminate it, so there's no use to getting really deep into that and correcting something that doesn't necessarily have to be done, because just stopping the moisture is stopping one-third of what that mold needs to stay there and to possibly grow. So you know you're good. But hey, we're going to get into our last break of the hour here. So don't forget, give me a shout. What do you got? What do you need? What are you working on? 314-436-7900 gets you straight into me. We'll have plenty of time in the next segment. Do not touch that dial. Everybody, here you have it, and here you are, Home Improvement Show. 314-436-7900 finds me right here. Don't forget, after this segment, we're going to have a whole nother hour with 97.1 FM joining the crowd, the fans, the questions, the call-ins, the answers with us in the next hour. So we have plenty of show left for everybody. And speaking of that, we've got Scott on the line. Let's go to Scott and see what's going on. Can you hear me, Scott?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. Thanks for calling.
Awesome. Thank you first for your show. I have a 70-year-old brick ranch home, and it's got a carport on the back of it. And I love the carport. I don't want to do anything with that. But I get in the wintertime, snow blows in and drifts into it. And I know people in the past have had, like, rattan screens. You know, the wicker or whatever hanging down has been a strategy for that.
Uh-huh.
But there's a shed at the end of it, and there's a gap between the shed and the house, and that's really where the wind kind of, you know, it's about a pathway wide, and that's okay. Where the wind really blows in. I'd like to get a rattan, like some sort of screen in that gap, and I'm wondering, does the width of the screen, should it cover the whole gap, or should there still be sort of a space for wind to get a little bit of wind to get through there? So
So you don't really need space for the wind to get through necessarily, because we've the different ways that I've seen this approach, and that I've actually done this in the past before, we've taken carports and we've like fully screened them in, which that would let a lot of wind blow through. And we've also used a system called, it's kind of like a three season type room. It's a system called Easy Breeze, and you can open and close these sort of windows. And, so when you're worried about wind and that, you can have them closed, and it's kind of like a plexiglass plastic type of window, and they can make this system to fit right in between the post of that carport, of the support post, and so they can customize it and build it in a way that it fits right in between, and that closes off all those gaps. So if you got a different type of screen like that, like the one you're talking about, that kind of rolls down. They also make kind of almost like the retractable awnings. They make retractable screens like that that can be electric, they can be manual, and most of them have kind of like a little track that go on each post, and then that goes up and down either manually or electrically, and it can be kind of like a shaded type screen material where it lets block some UV, but let some light through. So there's so many options of what you can pull down there. But yeah, you don't really necessarily have to leave a space to try and let wind in that around. It'll go where it goes, and it'll blow right off of it, and it's not a problem at all.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. Easy Breeze was the name of the...
Yeah, so Easy system. Breeze is a system that, yeah, they can kind of measure... And they can custom make this to fit between the post. And it can have kind of like a bottom section where it's almost like a chair rail, where maybe or it can go all the way down to the floor where you can see through it all the way down to the floor. And the cool thing about it is you can open and close these sections. And when you open them, a screen will come down automatically. So it's not like a screen in front of this plexiglass type window. It's actually kind of rolled up in it, and then when you start lowering it, it just pulls the screen down with it. It's a really cool system. So the screen's tucked away when you're not using it like a screen room, and it'll block the wind and the pollen and everything else if you have it up. and not have the screen, you know, close the screens and have the glass. And the glass is really cool because it's kind of like, I don't even know how to explain it. They can really explain it well, but it's flexible. You can kind of push your finger into it and it'll flex out and then it'll come back straight again. So really the only thing that damages it is maybe like a rock from a lawnmower or a bird, decent sized bird flying into it or something, but it's pretty durable. So,
okay, that's great. I'm going to definitely read up on that, look into that.
Yeah. Search that. And we get it from a company called Broadview Screen.
Okay.
And they can measure it, manufacture it, install it. When we do it, they do the whole job. We just actually manage. We'll work on the post and we'll wrap them and paint them and we'll make everything look nice. And then they make their system fit right in between there.
Awesome.
So, yeah, check them
out. Thank you so much. Thank you for that information.
Yep. You're very welcome. Appreciate the call, Scott. You have a great day, too. And they'll have other options for everybody that's considering something like this, too. They'll have a lot of those screens that roll down. They do the actual big screens that roll down electronic, like electric, and do it automatically. So you can have like a big open porch or you can screen it in for different events and bring those screens down. They've got all sorts of solutions for that, and those systems are what will be what has the ones that block the sun. You can get it where it can be just a regular screen and also one that comes down and blocks the sun too, so you can kind of do either or two in the same system. So there is a ton of options in what can happen and how that can work and help you and everything. So we've done a lot of rooms, kind of three season type rooms with that Easy Breeze, and it's a really good system. We incorporate that into a lot of our decks. It works really well when you build a deck with a roof cover. You can fill it in like that. So at Mosby, running around looking at all this and performing all this work, we have other options too. We have a lot of different options of how we can do these outdoor type projects, whether it's a little sunroom look, whether it's the aluminum roof type that's flat and it's way more cost effective, whether it's a real roof carpenter's built that has a really nice vaulted beadboard ceiling that's stained or painted. It can shingles match the house. It can be the aluminum cost effective. There's all these different ways that we can cover decks, porches, patios, with a lot of different systems that we're not nailed down to just one thing that we're trying to do. We're full service design build, trying to figure out the best project for your home. So we can get more into that. We're going to answer Steve's question in the first segment coming up in the next hour. So stick with us, stick around. We're going to have a lot more home improvement for everybody right after the news.
At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now the host of the show, Rich Orris.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. We've got the Camo X crowd. We've got the KFTK crowd. So we've got more things going on. We've got more people jumping in here. So hopefully that brings more questions, more concerns. Let's find out what you have going on around your house. Remember, you can give me a call, 314-436-7900, and we will get through what we can for you. We will help you out, whatever you have going on around your house. And we did have a call in, a question from Steve called in and was asking about spray-on roof shingle coatings. Do they work? Are they good? Should you do it? And looking at kind of the pros and cons of a spray-on roof coating, I mean, the short answer to the question is you know, will they work? Will they do what they say? Yes, but there is certain things to kind of watch out for, and there's certain things that they just really won't do at all. But so the purpose and the good of it is to extend your roof life. So they can put this coating on, it can and seal over some small cracks, and it can prevent some minor leaks. It can protect everything from the top down. And it depends a little bit on the type of coating that you get. There's like elastomeric kind of rubber-like coatings. There's silicone. There's regular kind of almost like a painting type coating. So there's different types that they use, and each one's going to have a little bit more longevity or benefit than the other. A big claim of roof coatings is about the color and the energy efficiency. So it can help reduce the temperature of that roof surface. And some silicone coatings can really reflect that UV rays, a high percentage of those UV rays. So that can be a good thing when it's really hot, when it's really, really sunny. I wouldn't go into that as hoping it's going to help you have an energy efficient home or make your energy bills much lower. You really, what it does for your home here in St. Louis with our temperatures and the length of time that these extreme heats and extreme cold times stick around, it's not a big deal to help with that energy efficiency, because it helps you for such a short time that you really probably wouldn't even notice year after year on a total energy bill. But it can be a good water resistant. The silicone coatings are very good at resisting water. They can even kind of hold water. So that's a good thing. And then the cost effectiveness of, you're not paying for a full roof replacement. So the coating is definitely generally more affordable to expand a little bit of time of the life expectancy of that roof, especially on flat roofs. It happens a lot more here in St. Louis on flat roofs, city roofs. Getting a coat on that and buying some time, it can work really well. So the drawbacks, the risk, what it does not do, it doesn't perform any type of structural fix. So those spray-on coatings, that's great. It can go over it, but if there's any major structural damage, if there was leaks, you can't get to the plywood substrate. So when you put on a new roof, I'm sure everyone out there has noticed that you put on a new roof and a lot of times they find bad sheeting and they pull up, and then it costs you a little extra to replace some of the plywood sheeting on your roof. Well, you're not going to get to that. So if you need that, you're still going to need that, and it's only going to get worse over time. So, and then also when you do these coatings, of course, prepping that surface is, with any type of painting, coating, cleaning, prepping is just as important. So removing any dirt and getting rid of anything and getting rid of the loose materials and having everything ready to go for this coat, it is a big deal in how long that coat could last. So how it's cleaned up and prepped and applied also plays into how long will that help and last for you. And so then the durability of it, you know, I would guess that you're probably about a 5-year product on something like this, and you're either going to have to consider reapplying it or then going into your full roof replacement. Silicone coatings can attract dirt and they can get very slippery when wet. So you want to watch if you have that, or that's what you get if you ever get on your roof, watch out for it being slippery. You have a risk of overspray when they're putting it on. It could get on other things, and that's, again, how they apply it. And then, of course, the cost, a high-performance coating is going to be more expensive than a simpler coating, but they're all going to be less expensive than changing your entire roof. But again, you've got the advantages of what you can get to when you change that entire roof and making sure that everything's good, everything's changed, you can get the proper drip edge, everything around it, and you can really change any plywood you need and get a more solid, longer lasting structure on there. And again, you could put this, all these roofs are subject to hail and wind and tornadoes and everything that we've even had happen here in St. Louis in the past year. If you get this roof coating put on and you think, all right, I just bought myself 5 years, and then 12 months later you get a really bad storm and it rips your shingles off, well, it's going to rip that coating off along with it, and as your shingles wear and all the asphalt pieces come off of them, the shingle gets lighter, it gets easier to blow off for the wind. So it takes less mile-an-hour wind to actually blow off a roof shingle as that shingle gets lighter. So if you've got a shingle that's worn for 20 years and you go to put a coating over it to try and buy more time and it blows off in a year or two, you really might not have bought any more time, and that could have all been to waste, and now you need an entire new roof anyways. So that's why generally I would advise just going back to that full roof replacement. Another thing to think about with these roof coatings is if you were looking at the cost of a full roof replacement and you're thinking, holy cow, this is really expensive, this is really going to be hard for me to handle, well, you look at this roof coating and say it's 25% of the cost of a whole new roof. Now, I'm just guessing. I have no idea what these cost, and I really don't. We don't do these coatings, and we don't have a lot of experience with these coatings as far as applying them and what they cost to put on. But let's pretend for story's sake here, it's 25%, and you're avoiding 100%. Well, as your roof gets more expensive every year, if you pay that amount to wait 5 years and you planned on staying in your home, and 5 years later you've saved enough money, you go to get this roof, well, it's probably going to be 110 to 120% of what it would have been 5 years ago. Even if it goes up 5% a year, your 5 years, that's 25%. That's the cost of what you spent on that roof coating. So now it's 5 years later, and in that 5 years, you've spent 150% of what you would have spent 100% on 5 years ago to just get the roof. So if you look at that and you consider financing and you say, well, if I can afford a payment, maybe I could even pay for half and do a payment on half. And so the interest is not going to be 50% of the cost of the roof over 5 years. So you're better off financing to get the right thing right now than you are to try and pay a good amount to buy yourself 2, 4, 5 years to pay more for that full roof later on. It just makes more sense to me to get into the right thing. Even if you pay a little bit of interest, it's not going to be 150% of what you're paying for it first and up front with the interest. So consider that every time too. But hey, we're going to get into our first break here. So for everybody out there, don't forget, 314-436-7900 finds me right here. Whatever you got going on around your house, we can get to you in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. More Home Improvement Show to come right after this. All right, here we are. Welcome back. Welcome back, Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here for you. Again, remember, 314-436-7900. Finds me. Whatever you have going on around your house, love to hear from you, your comments, your concerns, your DIY projects. How can we help you out? Again, remember, write this down, 314-436-7900. Get you straight in. We got plenty of time for everybody, plenty of show left. And I know today is a beautiful day. I was talking earlier about painting the entry doors that I'm installing at my house. And so yesterday and then today, I'm going to get my second coat on three of the doors that I have installed. And perfect timing here with the weather. I probably should be out trying to do my Christmas lights, but it's picking and choosing your battles. And this is, I have to have the certain overnight lows to be so high in order to let that paint cure, because paint drying and paint curing is much different. And paint curing can literally be about a month long, weeks to a month long process all the way through. Paint drying with an overnight low so high can get it dry enough to where you're fine for that cure to slowly happen in over time once you've got that first day and it's actually dry. So, hey, we got Doug on the line. Let's see what's going on with Doug. Hey, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thanks for calling. What's happening? How can I help?
I'm in the process of getting some bids on a roof.
Uh-huh.
And I got to listen to your show about putting a new roof on with this spray, and I was wondering your thoughts on if you put a new roof on, let's say the roof costs $13,000, and you said about 25% to spray on. Do you recommend if you put a new roof on to put the spray on after you put a new roof on, and how long would that last you?
So that's a very interesting question, because I would probably not recommend putting the spray on until you're getting close to a time that you're gonna need it, or if you're, as that life expectancy starts going away, because what it'll do is it'll slow down the process of the asphalt shingle pieces coming off and the wearing of it, but your new roof is going to have a long time before that starts getting so bad. And because, I mean, roofs last 20, 30 years. So if someone was going to consider that as like a preemptive, how do I stretch that roof to make it last longer, I would probably say wait about 10 years before you consider that. And I think probably what's happening in the market is most people are waiting like the full 20, and now the roof is pretty worn and pretty thin, and you're closer to the end of that life. And I think if you were in the middle, that would probably be a more opportune time to consider that. Because then if it just wears off in 5 years, it's just going to start that process. And I think it might help you more if you kind of wait a little time and let that roof age a little bit and get there. But this is just a theory, you know, but yeah, cause I think your roof is going to hold up really, really well for the first good 5-10 years.
So you don't think you could get more extension out of spraying it earlier than possibly later?
Yeah, I don't. I really don't. I mean, the key would be is don't let it get so thin that it might blow off really easy. And so don't wait 20, 25 years and then try and consider that to get you by. But everyone's scenario is different, too, in what you're trying to get out of it. If you knew that, when you examined the what each person is going to be doing and what they're after, that kind of helps answer that too. So if someone was literally like, well, I'm getting really super close to needing a new roof, but I'm on a waiting list for an assisted living facility or a new, you know, retirement living facility, and I'm going to be in that facility within 2 years, then maybe spray your roof. Because you know you'll probably get that, I just don't think I would put it on right away. I would consider it a little bit later, kind of in the middle of its life.
And the cost of what you said is like 25%. So
I'm not sure. You would have to actually have people price it out for you, because I do not do a lot of these coatings. So I was just saying that to kind of have some sort of math to talk about. So if it's more than 25% of the cost of a new roof, then yeah, my math is even a little bit optimistic on what you'll pay in the long run.
And out of those two or three that you mentioned, with silicone and a paint enamel and another kind, is there one you would recommend more than others?
Not really, just because I don't know a whole lot about them. And so I don't really have a lot of experience with them and how they really last. So when people talk about them and they test them and they say, well, we made one out of silicone and it tested out this way. Well, all these products work so differently in different areas in our weather and their weather, and is it hot all the time or cold all the time? Do you get 40 inches of rain a year or 14 inches of rain a year? That plays into how these coatings work and last. So I don't really have a specific that I would recommend saying this is going to be a lot better in our area. You would just have to kind of interview with everybody, see what the differences are in those coatings, and then try and just make a decision based on what that is and the theories of we're here in St. Louis, this is what happens to us.
I see. I think I have 2 to 5 years of longevity left on the roof I have, and I've seen those commercials about spraying the roof, but I've never called to inquire about prices or different materials.
Yep. Yeah, I know there is a few different types of, kind of like the silicone and there's elastomerics or so. So there's different types that go on. But, yeah, you just have to speak with someone that puts them on and see what their theory is and how it works. And I wouldn't offer up a lot of information in the questions, but I would pay attention to the people that talk about our area. That talk about, hey, this is what happens in our area, so this one's the best because of what happens in our area, and they explain that well, then if all they're explaining is what makes it so good, that they're doing that around the country. Not everything's good, as good in every area. So, try and see if anybody talks about the St. Louis area, so... Yep.
What are your thoughts on the different types of shingles? Is there one better than others that you might recommend?
Typically everything's kind of a normal asphalt shingle. So if buying up the food chain on asphalt shingles, the better, the thicker, the longer they say they'll last, the thicker they are, the more asphalt they have on them. So a good architectural asphalt shingle is perfectly fine for the St. Louis area, but there's also other roof types, metal. There's different roof types that can definitely last longer in our area than asphalt shingles do. They're not very cost effective, so not a lot of people get them because they're just so expensive. And we don't live in our houses as long as we used to. So when people used to buy a house and live in it until they paid it off and they retired in it, it would have made a lot of sense early on to buy into a way better roof that might last 50 years, but we just don't stay in our houses long enough all the time to get the benefit out of a metal roof. So yeah, asphalt, typical asphalt shingles are really good and perfectly fine for our area. So, all right, Doug.
Okay, well, I used to be a truck driver, and I used to haul some shingles out of Minneapolis, Corning.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's that, and so you understand how heavy they are. Yeah.
They are heavy, yeah.
Yeah, you put a bunch of them on a truck, that is, like, really super heavy. So, hey, Doug, appreciate the thought, the questions. Sue, if you can hang on the line here for a couple minutes through a quick break, I will jump to you as soon as we return. For everybody else, stay tuned. More home improvement to come. All right. Welcome back, Home Improvement Show. We've got Sue on the line, but we've also, don't forget, we've got plenty of time for everybody. 314-436-7900. But let's get right to Sue and see how we can help. Are you there?
I am. Welcome to the second summer in St. Louis.
Yes.
I have a question. It's warm out here. I have a family room I have a deck that extends off my family room, and underneath it is a deck or a patio. And I'm wondering if I can close that deck in upstairs to turn into either an addition to my family room or a three-season room, or am I going to also have to extend out from the basement underneath?
So you will need, it's funny, I was just talking to a client about this, looking at this same exact situation at their house, and the thing was, they were hoping to keep that concrete patio underneath it.
Right.
And if you're doing a full foundation, you will not be able to keep that patio. If you put this room and you build this room on what we call, like, on stilts, kind of like your deck is, you can, a lot of times you can keep that patio, but you'll need some bigger piers to hold up the floor, the roof, the walls, the whole structure. So a lot of times we're cutting through that patio to either add more piers with more posts to hold the floor and the room up, or we're digging out what you have, making the cut a little bit bigger, and then pouring a bigger, wider pier that will hold an actual room addition. Then you can kind of keep that patio, but you're working through it a little bit, because you do need, in either scenario, you need some sort of footing to hold that room up. And so when you turn that into a room, the only thing that you will be possibly able to keep is just the treated wood floor structure. If you keep that room the exact same size as what that deck is right now, so there's not a lot you're going to keep in converting that into an actual room. Now, we do it all the time, and we keep that floor all the time, but it's worth taking the opportunity to say, what would happen if that room were just a little bit bigger or a little bit wider, or do you get a lot more out of it if the room's somewhat a different size, and really the only extra expense you're paying for is that framed floor structure, which isn't a lot in the overall percentage of what a room addition cost. Does the deck already have a roof over it?
No.
Okay, so yeah, so you're building 90% of this room regardless.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't really care about the patio underneath.
Uh-huh.
My concern was that I was going to have to extend the basement out so that there was a room underneath the new addition.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to have a room underneath that. It would be just kind of like the deck. You would have a room that's on post.
Right.
With just the space underneath it. So what would change for you is the floor that how that right. floor is built and how ductwork comes from the basement into that room. You have to right. watch how you build that floor, how you insulate that floor so that that Got room it. Is comfortable. There's a
right.
there's a big difference in how I would insulate that floor when I do that and have that room on stilts to make it actually comfortable and work out.
You could do so that it wasn't freezing and burning up in there. You could
exactly.
insulate it and heat it and cool it.
Yep.
I just didn't know if you were allowed to not have a room underneath.
Yep, you're totally allowed to. And yeah, it's just how do you insulate it so that you're comfortable? Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
I've seen a lot of these rooms built, and they're not very comfortable because of the way they were built.
Uh-huh.
And it's like now you have a room that you paid so much to get into, but you're just not as happy with it because in the coldest part of winter, you don't like being in there.
Gotcha.
And that's a shame. So, yeah, how you do it means a lot. All right, Sue?
Okay. All good things to think about. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
No problem. Very welcome. Very welcome. Thanks for the call. We got Gary on the line. Gary has a question for us. What's going on? How can I help you, Gary?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I've got a situation where I have a true I'm losing my thought here. The structure was built as a true fallout shelter.
Okay.
So 1954. It's basically structured like a Quonset hut.
Uh-huh.
And it's got some spalling on it. I use it for, I've got both my downspout drains draining into it. It no longer drains water. So I've got both my downspout drains into it, and I use it to water my lawn and garden.
Yes. But, okay, so you're using it like a cistern now.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But, it's got some spalling in spots that I thought I was going to use something like a Quikrete to take care of that. But I'm more interested in, it also has some hairline cracks in the structure.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering what you would recommend to coat that with.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a good question because you need some really good waterproofing there that to try and hold that water. You might really be looking at applying some sort of like an epoxy coating or something over that entire concrete surface. Because if you're holding water in it, like we talk about painting with dry lock to keep water from soaking into concrete, but that's in areas that's not like always 100% wet. And so if you're using this like a cistern and you're talking about the inside of this thing.
Well, no, excuse me for interrupting.
Okay.
The area I'm concerned with is above grade. The structure goes about 6 feet
I got you.
Below grade level.
Okay.
So I'm above grade on my area of concern.
Yeah. Then I would go ahead and like a dry lock foundation paint. It's meant for concrete and it's meant to hold moisture coming through the concrete, so I would paint it with dry lock, just a dry concrete lock. Moisture barrier. Yep.
Okay. Well, you diagnosed it perfectly. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant like down in there, like where you're.
No.
And I'm going, oh my gosh, like that's like, you know, you need some of these miracle paint on systems that I see on social media all the time, where they paint this stuff on. And it literally dries this thing in like minutes, and it's supposed to be impenetrable. I have a hard time believing they actually work quite that well but they probably work better than dry lock does, but would be a lot more expensive. So you'll be good with just that concrete paint.
Surprisingly, it holds water below grade, so that's not a problem.
All right.
So, hey,
great.
Appreciate the advice. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. No problem, Gary. Have a good day. And, hey, we're getting into our final segment for everybody here, so let me know what you got. If you have something going on, feel free to get with me in the last segment, 314-436-7900. More home improvement right after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Final segment. We've got Bob on the line with a question, so we're just going to go straight to Bob and get this helped out. Sounds like this may take a minute. Bob, how can we help you?
Hey, sir, I appreciate you taking my call. I just recently bought a house that has a basement, and I have a slight sewage smell down there.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if I needed to, like, add a sink vent or something in there. There's a bathroom down there, and it's coming from that bathroom.
Okay. So is it a full bath with, like, a tub or a shower?
No, it's just
a half bath.
It's a half bath, yeah,
okay.
And a sink.
Okay. So, and I'm guessing you've used the sink since you've bought the house and ran water through it?
I use it at least once a week.
Okay. So the two simplest things to make sure of is, one, you've kind of answered, because if you're using that sink at least once a week, you just want to make sure your water's not evaporating out of the P-trap underneath that sink. So the other spot...
And I am using an evaporator. What is that? A dehumidifier?
Oh,
but
okay.
It's on the other side of the basement.
Okay. So you've got a little bit of humidity in the basement, and you're running a dehumidifier, which could technically speed up the timeline of the water evaporating out of that P-trap. But I'm still not guessing it would be a week. The
right.
other thing
and
you
I,
can check
I've
is the toilet.
There was an old trick where you put oil in your sink to lessen the chance of evaporation.
Uh-huh.
And I have used that.
Okay. So yeah, the other spot I would look at is your toilet. It's making sure that toilet is set down. It's sitting firmly with the wax ring, and it's not anything coming out from underneath that toilet.
Right, and I recently replaced the wax ring.
Okay, and you're still getting that smell?
I'm still getting that smell. I'm at my wit's end on this, you know?
Yep. So I would look at finding a plumber to come in and do what we call a smoke test, where they'll like inject smoke into your plumbing lines. Not smoke, but you know, it's like a smoke they use, so it's not going to damage the house or anything. But it will basically show them if there's something broken and the smoke starts coming out. They'll kind of compress the drain system with air, blowing the smoke in. And I've had a house where we battled for years trying to get rid of their smell in their house. They would get it all the time, and it's a tricky thing, because I can tell you in their house we found something wrong with that house that could be causing that smell about four or five different times in different areas with different things. And every time we thought, well, this has got to be it. Like we found a toilet drain line running through the cold air return in the basement. And so when we remodeled their bathroom, we moved that out of that cold air return line, because it can't be in there. It's against code. It's not good. And if you've got air, it's sucking, it's pulling air. We're like, it's probably pulling the smell right out of the toilet between the wax ring and the toilet. It's like a negative air pressure. We thought we solved it, and then we found more. Every year we'd find something different. The smell would come back. We would do something else. eventually we found crack pipes underneath their basement floor under the shower in the basement from a smoke test, and it was coming out between the like the basement floor and the foundation wall. So
see, that's what I'm scared of.
Yep, it could be something like that, and that'll help narrow that down.
So a smoke test will detect it.
Yes, it should. I mean, all given purposes, that's what it's meant to do. But sometimes you find something, you go to it, and then you fix it, and then they do the smoke test again, and they start finding it elsewhere, and you might have two or three things wrong, quite possibly. But hopefully they'll just find one, and it could be a crack pipe in the wall behind the wall. It could be something like that. And you'll start seeing smoke come out from, like, behind the wall or under the baseboard, and then you know where to kind of go in to start to find it. So you've got a trial and error kind of basis thing ahead of you with the plumbers and their smoke testing. So I wish you luck.
Well, I appreciate it, sir.
Yep, no problem. Appreciate the call. And, yeah, these pipes and the smell coming out can be like tracking a water leak from a roof, and it ends up being a wall and not the roof, or it ends up being from way over here because it can be just as tricky to track some of these things down. So that trial and error and kind of working through it takes some time. Hey, we also had a question about selecting some kitchen cabinets. We can talk about that in further episodes. I'll definitely bring that up. And I have a designer coming on in December that is an expert in kitchen cabinets, so we could talk about that then as well in future episodes. Hey, between now and then, be good to each other, be good to your homes. I look forward to talking to everybody next week.